Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. As I read these ancient words, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life and your heart at this point on your faith journey. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Do you like the deserted island game? Do you like that? What? You don't know the deserted island game? Sure you do. It goes something like this. You're on a deserted island, and you're given a choice. You can have one item to keep you company on the island, so what will it be? For example, if you could have one food item on the island, which food item would you choose? You know, would it be pizza? Or would it be ice cream? Or how about this? You could have one designated sports channel. Will it be the golf channel? Or will it be the NFL Network? Oh, how about the Blue Devil Sports Channel? Can I get an amen? All right, never mind. You can choose one genre of music. Will it be country? Will it be classical? Will it be alternative bluegrass? Is there such a thing? It's your choice. All right. Do you remember that game now? Okay, of course you do. Now, I just have one. You are on a deserted island, and you have to make a choice question. If you could have only one passage of Scripture, one passage of Scripture with you on the island, which one would you choose? Now think. Think about it. Would it be Psalm 23? "The Lord is my shepherd," you know? Or maybe it's the Lord's Prayer. Or the birth story of Jesus, you know, the Christmas story. Oh, how about Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat? We talked about that, what, a week or two ago? Or how about this? How about the parable of the Good Samaritan, parable of the prodigal son, one of those classics? Or maybe just given the circumstances of life on the island, you may choose the story of Jonah. You can go look that up. Well, anyway, what do you choose? What do you choose? Can't decide? Well, how about this? How about considering Romans 12? Now, I'm tempted to say that if I could have only one chapter of Scripture in my possession, I would choose Romans 12. You know, that would be my chapter. A few minutes ago, you heard Jody Cleveland read the opening verses of that chapter. Allow me to read the rest of the chapter. She read verses 1 through 8. Let me read verses 9 through 21. Now, listen very carefully, because it's one of those very practical how-to sections of Scripture. You know, how to live full, abundant, meaningful lives. Are you ready? Okay, listen carefully. "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers, Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you'll heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can I get an amen to that? Thank you. You know, as I was reading these words from Paul, and then the gospel lesson from Matthew, the two texts begin to become inextricably linked in my mind and in my heart. You know, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Okay, here's my logic. If we, the church, uppercase C, earnestly believe that we are the foundation upon which the kingdom of God is built in this world, then it is incumbent upon us to be a community that embodies the essence of Romans 12. If we are folks who can be described as not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our lives, if we are people who do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, if we are, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, and if we allow our love to be genuine and hate what is evil as we hold fast to what is good, not allowing ourselves to be overcome by evil but striving to overcome evil with good, then we will find ourselves aligned with and conscious of the mystery of Christ, and thereby be a presence through which God lays hold of this world. But, having said that, it raises for me the age-old question, doesn't it? Chicken or egg question. Which comes first? A confession of belief or a life characterized by integrity of spirit? Now, I'm not really sure because they're so integrally bound in my heart. Let me ask you, do we carefully formulate and embrace a personal theology and ecclesiology before we set out on our faith journey? Or does our belief system unfold in the movement of our lives? Or in other words, do we stumble? Do we live into what we believe? In the book of Acts, which dates to the late first century, you know, it's written by the same person who wrote the gospel we call Luke. In the book of Acts, we read the following statement. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Did you hear that? The way. The word is hodos, you know, the path, you know, the road, the journey. In his thought-provoking book, Living with the Devil, A Meditation on Good and Evil, former monk Stephen Batchelor offers this life illustration. And we've talked about this before. I think we talked about it in some small groups. I think we've talked about it in this setting as well. The illustration is this. There is a person who is lost in the desert. She trudges along in a desperate attempt to survive. Hours pass, and the sun and the wind and thirst have begun to take their toll. And just when surrender to the elements appears to be the only option, a set of footprints is noticed in the sand. The prints lead off into the horizon, and hope of new life springs forth. What if there's an oasis across that hill? The idea is glorious and salvific even. But almost as quickly as hopelessness turned to joy, joy turns to despair, as the one who is lost realizes that the tracks in the sand are her own. For whatever reason, habit or injury, she consistently veered fractionally to the right or left. Without a path or landmark to guide her, she traced a vast circle while convinced she was walking in a straight line. Batchelor calls this the devil's circle. Do you know what he's talking about? Do you know what Batchelor's talking about? Sure you do. It's doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in the devil's circle? Batchelor writes, quote, "No matter what experience has taught us, we insist on making the same mistakes again and again." And then he goes on to write this. "A devil's circle is addictive. It raises you to dizzy heights of rapture, only to bring you crashing down into troughs of despair. Yet I do not hesitate to start the diabolic cycle again. I find it hard to resist the urge to go through the familiar and comforting motions of a habit, even when I know that the end result will be the anxious craving to repeat the experience again. Whether the obsession is food, power, sex, religion, or a drug, the pattern is the same." Do you know what a devil's circle is? It's being caught in a pattern of living that leads nowhere. Day after day, we do the same thing that we've done for years and years, and we try to convince ourselves that we're growing as human beings, despite the fact that year after year, we lament our lack of spiritual vitality. You know, I'm convinced that one of the main benefits of our time together week after week in this place, whether it's in person or virtual, you know, whether it's in worship or Bible study or small groups or social setting, whatever it is, that when we gather as a community that is grounded in Christ, we begin to face ourselves. You know, gather as a community of faith, we begin the process of unmasking. I'm speaking metaphorically, folks. Keep those masks on. Anyway, maybe let me think of another way to envision this. How about discovery? Discovery. In this place, when we gather as a community of faith, we begin to discover who we are and who we have allowed ourselves to become. And then if we immerse ourselves in this community of discovery, we have the hope of identifying those devil circles in our lives. And then this identification sets us on a new path that leads beyond the perimeter of the circle. You know, I know the experience of the devil's circle too well, but I never seem to get it. I never seem to understand why I never get anywhere, why I keep passing the same landmarks. Remember some of Jesus' first words spoken in his public ministry were these, "Follow me." In other words, let's go. Romans 12 and much of Paul's writings for that fact and that matter are about learning to walk that path. You know, learning a way to follow that way. "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. I say to everyone among you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." To me, the key verse in all of this is this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Do not be conformed. Do not be formed with and by this world. But allow yourself to be transformed, to be changed, to be refigured by the renewal. You know, the renewal, the refreshment, the recreation of your minds. The Greek word is nous, meaning mind, thought, reason, attitude, intention, purpose, understanding, discernment. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by new ways of thinking, which include allowing love to be genuine. What a novel thought that is. You know, not thinking of ourselves too highly. Well, there's an idea. Rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. Wow, that would be a switch. And by not allowing ourselves to be overcome by evil, but overcoming evil with good. That, my friends, would change us. That would change the world. Friends, just to put it simply, the life of faith, life itself is a path we travel in the presence of one another and with God. It is a path that leads somewhere. It's not a circle. It is a path that leads to deeper levels of life. It's a path that was first forged many, many years ago. And it is a path that, when walked well, will bring life not only to ourselves, but to our world, to God's world. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Friends, go and practice your faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.